Thanks for joining us today on CC and Doc Talk, where we talk about everything under the sun. You never know quite what you're going to get, but you'll always be entertained. Aren't you excited?
I am very excited. This is fun.
And we've decided that this one is going to be completely unscripted. Well, honestly, they're all pretty much unscripted, but I am going to throw out a topic today and we're just going to launch.
No preparation.
No prep.
I don't get to think about this at
nope.
all.
Nope. So okay. We also decided that we wanted our second podcast to be something fun. So here's your topic. Are you ready? Drum roll, please. Are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Stupid things we've done and lived to tell about. And because I know that BC, before Cindy, before CC, you did a lot of stupid things without me. And lived to tell about them because your guardian angel is very busy. But today I actually want us to focus on the last 20 years of our lives together and stupid things we've done together.
AC. After
yeah,
Cindy.
After Cindy. Okay. Has anything, no, there's not an after Cindy. It's a during Cindy.
During Cindy.
The DC. Okay, so do any just like pop into your head right off the top?
Oh, well, of course. The one that I didn't think it was stupid at the time, but looking back, I've thought about it many times. Is I don't know if you even remember this. We were in Italy. It was late at night. I think we were landed in Naples, and we went to go out to get a taxi over to where the rental car was, and it was fairly close by, you know, a couple miles. And the Ubers were like, I don't know, non-existent, or the taxi line was an hour long, or whatever it was. And we're like, oh my gosh! And so we put in the request. And this guy pulls up in a car and he's like, where do you need to go? And I said, you know, we need to go over to this rental car place. And he goes, well, hop in, I'll take you there. And we hopped in the car and it was dark, it was raining. And I had where we were going on my phone. And, you know, and then we pull up and it wasn't obvious where this rental car place was. So we're out in the middle of nowhere and he can't find it. We can't find it. I'm like, right here. And of course, he, you know, he doesn't speak up much English. My Italian was really bad. I spoke really bad Spanish to him. And I'm like, we need to go right here. And he's like, you're here. So we get out of the car. I mean, now we're in the middle of nowhere. And we're trying to find this place to pick up our rental car. Anyway, I often think that was like really stupid at the time. I mean, we survived it, but I was like, what were we thinking? Well, anyhow, that's the first one coming to mind. So
yeah,
I don't know if you remember it.
And you wonder if I remember it. I pretty much remember every stupid thing we've done. And I definitely, first of all, my mom's listening to this, so she's going to be horrified when she hears that one.
Oh.
The woman who worries about us on all of our adventures. And yet, this is so your MO, by the way. And both of us,
I can't think about any of our parents listening to this, or I will not tell some of these stories in a very truthful way. I was like, oh yeah, Italy was awesome. It was so safe. No problem, you know?
And truth be told, I'm not sure that both of us just jumped in the taxi. I'm sure that one of us was a little more pragmatic and thinking, are you sure we should be jumping into a car with a smoking stranger with the windows
rolled up? Oh, he did smoke the whole time. He smoked the whole way over there. Oh my gosh.
I remember you trying to mime in Italian how to tell him to roll down a window. But yeah, but this is so your MO. Like, I remember in the years, there actually was a time before Uber and Lyft, and you used to, you know, when you'd come back from traveling on a business trip, you'd call me sometimes from the airport and you'd go, hey, you don't need to come get me. I've got a ride. I'm like, what do you mean you have a ride?
Oh, gosh,
you know, because I know you're too cheap to take a taxi.
My mom taught me that. Just bring strangers home for dinner. In fact, I actually brought somebody home one time and they spent the night. An old lady, we were stranded, you know.
I know. You used to, you know.
That's how we found a pet sitter.
Well, multiple pet sitters. We won't get into that. But anyway, this is totally your MO. Like, your parents never taught you stranger danger. And so you would call me from the airport and you go, hey, I got a ride. And I'm like, who's giving you a ride? And you're like, hey, I met this guy. He's at the airport and he was on the same flight as me and he lives near us. So I'm like, are you kidding me right now? So, you know, and I don't know. This was back, I think, before our phones had tracking on them. I couldn't even track you to make sure that you got to me safely. But no, this is totally remote. Getting in cars with strangers.
Or bringing them home.
Or bringing them home.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Stupid things we've done.
I guess I haven't learned that lesson.
To tell
them. All right. Well. Okay, what's on your mind for something? What comes up for you?
So the first one that popped into my head was our trip up the Arkansas River in our jet ski.
Oh my gosh.
Our massive four-person jet ski. It was like a 15-footer. Wasn't that thing 15 feet?
Well, it sounded like a good idea at the time. It was a surprise for you.
For my 40th.
You wanna,
it was my 40th. Well, I'm going to let you tell the story. Because like you had a picnic packed and you were planning on us spending the night. It was super romantic. You had all kinds of, it was my 40th birthday. I mean, you pulled out all the stops, but I'm just going to set up the thing. We lived at the time very near the Pueblo Reservoir. And so we would boat and jet ski on the Pueblo Reservoir, and the Pueblo Reservoir is fed by the Arkansas River. So upriver, there, you know, where you move out of the reservoir and you start moving into the Arkansas River, it starts to get shallower and shallower and shallower. And ultimately it turns into kind of the whitewater and the rapids that are so famous in Colorado for, you know, Fibarc and all of those fabulous, you know, kayaking events. So now I'm just going to punt to you and let you share us taking our jet ski up those waters. Go ahead.
Well, I was very curious about if you went way to the back of the reservoir and it turned into the Arkansas River, what does it look like, you know? And so I packed, I threw in some tenting gear in case we spent the night and found a really cool place or, you know, and brought a picnic. And so up river we went, and it was during peak runoff. It was June. And so the water wasn't shallow, but it was raging. And so, you know, you could pretty much, I thought I could see where most of the rocks were. So I was avoiding some of the rocks and going up the rapids.
Staying in the deep parts.
And it was staying in the deep parts. And we got up river quite a ways. I'd say we were a mile.
We were up a long way.
We were up a long way. All right. So we find this little island.
I mean, it took us probably, I don't know, an hour or more?
We were a long way up the river. Almost to, I don't know, Florence or something like that. Anyway, but it doesn't matter. So I found this little island. We beach the jet ski onto the island, and we bring out the little picnic. And as we're sitting there,
As we're sitting there and you're talking about maybe camping on this little island for the night.
Or over on the shoreline nearby. We're watching the water rise rapidly because the runoff is increasing.
My birthday is in June, so it was peak runoff.
And next thing you know is parts of the embankment near us that we're watching, the water's just taking the embankment away and it's crumbling. And I'm watching the edge of this little island that we're sitting on slowly disappear. And within an hour, I think the water probably came up, I don't know, 6 inches, a foot, whatever. All of a sudden I'm like, and so now as it's getting closer to dark, I think we got to get out of here. I mean, we absolutely can't stay. And you're like, I think that's a good idea. So all right, so at least we had a good idea at the end of that one. And so now
maybe it's a good idea to go home now.
So now we're packing up. The water's raging. We're going down ski. Now, the only way to steer with a jet ski is if you give it gas, because it has to have...
So it can't stall. It has to stay running.
Right. And now we're going with the water, so we're already at this very fast pace. And I have to give it gas, and I'm navigating these rocks and the rapids. And
our jet ski was so big, I couldn't use like my foot or anything as a rudder.
No.
Uh-uh.
Oh, no. No, not at all. And so I remember my heart was racing. I had all this adrenaline sweat. And I didn't want to portray to you that I was really scared. Because, you know, all we had to do was scrape a rock.
Well, not only that, but all this debris floating by now because it's runoff. And so then we have an impeller in the bottom of the jet ski. If that gets something
nobody
in it,
knew we were up
we're
there.
Yeah, no.
And nobody goes to the back of it.
Why would we tell anybody where
because
we're going?
Because you're way back in where all the logs and everything are. Oh, my gosh. It was really crazy. So anyways, we get all the way back to the marina. And now by then it was dark. And it was wet and chilly. And I remember I still in my life jacket. And I just thanked our lucky angels. I'm like, or thank the lucky stars and thanked our angels. And I'm like, oh my gosh, thank you for getting us back. And thank goodness we didn't tell the parents about that one. Okay, so that was pretty stupid. Let's move on. Hope you had a good birthday. See, and you remembered it, right?
It was
an experience to remember.
We have great stories because of the stupid things we've done. And I actually have one that is, and this wasn't, this didn't start out stupid because we were just doing a normal thing that everybody else does when they travel in these areas. But we had to outrun an overflowing waterfall in Hawaii. And like, I don't know who this happens to, but, you know, we're on a regular hike to a waterfall in Hawaii, and it started raining. I'm going to let you tell this one.
Why am I telling these stories?
Well, partly because it's sort of a blur to me. Like, most of what I remember...
I remember some of these vividly.
Most of what I remember is I had on, like, flip-flops or probably Tevas, something like that. I had on Tevas. I had on a skort, so my legs were exposed. My arms were exposed. We had on bathing suits because we were going to a waterfall because, you know, you got to swim in a waterfall. And all I remember is us running from that waterfall. It seemed like miles and miles and miles, and pouring down rain, and every bramble and thistle and thorn that could scratch my body, scraped my body. I mean, it was like an out-of-body experience for me. And we were leaping over some things that I just don't even know that my body could normally leap over. Because this girl can't jump.
It was a run like hell, save your life story.
Yeah, so, and I don't even remember.
Well,
it was like we were watching
flash floods.
And we were smart. We didn't climb on top of the waterfall like so many people were doing that day. But I don't even remember the details.
We were at a Slack Key guitar festival with Dawn and John and Kimmy and Carl. And you and I decided to go hike a waterfall.
Carlos.
And Carlos went with us. So we found this. We followed a van that went to a spot, and that's how we knew where the waterfall
was. Okay,
that
was a stupid thing. No. Don't follow the
van. Waterfall, we hike up, and as we're hiking up, the water's probably ankle deep. You know, you have to cross this little stream 3-4 times or 6 times. I don't remember what it was. Doesn't matter.
It was a trickle.
It was about ankle deep.
Yeah.
You know, or mid calf. And you're right. We went through these thorn raspberries, and as we're on our way up, we're gently pushing these thorny bushes out of the way so you could get through. And because we were in like swimsuits
and
shorts,
we weren't in a hurry.
In a hurry. We get up to the waterfall, beautiful waterfall. And Carlos takes a picture of us. And then we turn around to take a picture of Carlos, and the waterfall behind him quadrupled in size. And all of a sudden it was muddy.
In a matter of a minute or two.
It was just like, also like, oh, and this flash flood came over this waterfall, and it's like, oh my goodness.
Well, and I don't think it was raining on us the way up there. I don't think it rained, and I don't think it started raining until the waterfall got bigger, right?
Correct.
So it was raining somewhere else.
Yeah. It was raining over this mountain, whatever it was. Yeah. So we turn around, it's like, we've got to get out of here. So we started running, and you're running now in dripping wet flip-flops, and you're sliding all over the place, and now we're running through these sticker bushes, and they're just scraping our legs. And where it was, you know, knee deep or ankle deep water is now already up to your mid thigh, almost up to your waist. And instead of trying to find a way to get into the river slowly, we were just plunging in and getting across. And we did outrun it because it was twisty turny, and we just kept running and running and jumping in the water and the creek and getting in front of it.
I remember also like having to grab onto bamboo and trees to make sure you got from place to place. And I can remember the water just sluicing down our hands.
Pouring
from
over
the
your
rain.
Hands.
It was truly torrential downpour. Yes. And those streams that were like a foot wide were like 3.
So we made it down to where the car area was. And we had outrun the raging water, and we turned around, we took a picture of where it was calm and serene, and then we took a picture of it with all the mud and the raging water coming through.
I'm gonna have to dig those up.
Oh my gosh. And then we get back to where everybody else was watching the Slack Key guitar concert, and we looked terrible.
Well, like I
we
said,
were
I was
bloody,
a little scratched
we were
up,
muddy,
filthy.
We were filthy, we were soaking wet. And they all looked at us like, what just
where the
happened?
Hell have you been?
What happened to you? All right, that's it. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that one. That was awesome. That was an awesome hike, but oh my gosh.
You get us into some really precarious things because literally, you know, we're driving through Hawaii and Amy's like, look, waterfall, let's go.
Adventure, let's go hike.
Let's go. So she did that one other time to me. We were in New Zealand and we were driving through New Zealand, and when we were in New Zealand, this was a trip that we pretty much did everything that we could do, all the adrenaline pumping activities. We skydived, we ice climbed. And actually this particular moment was the bungee jumping, which I was terrified to do because I have historically always been afraid of heights.
You can't claim that anymore.
Until I met Amy, because she's basically made me test that pretty much every
immersion therapy.
Every day of my life, I've had to test the fear of heights. So I'm much better now. But at this time, we had only been together for probably a year, I think, when we went to New Zealand. So she was driving, and I'm a great Cupid doll in the car. So I don't know what it is. Just the motion of the car will just put me right to sleep. So I fell right to sleep, and Amy drove us to the AJ Hackett bungee jumping venue, which is the original one in all of the world.
Was it Queenstown?
And over the Kawaru River, it's the Kawaru Bridge over the Kawaru River. It's like 148 foot drop. And
from the bridge to the river, yeah.
Amy, I was asleep in the car, and Amy pulls us into the parking lot, and she proceeds to go and get us a sandwich, which she then basically waves under my nose to wake me up to let me know that what we're about to do. And I forget, what did you say to me? You handed me the sandwich and you said, eat this so you have something to throw up after we bungee jump.
Because I've scheduled us to go bungee jumping.
And I don't know, I think I just crawled out of my skin at that moment. And I thought, well, we've already skydived. And actually, I think I was more afraid of the bungee jumping than the skydiving. No, I was more afraid of the skydiving than the bungee jumping. And I managed the skydiving. And I thought I could handle the bungee jumping until they put us out on that little 2-foot by 2-foot platform out over that river. And I immediately just froze, like deer in the headlights, absolutely froze. And they tell you not to look down. So then, of course, what do? You look down. And all I remember is that my brain thought I was about to commit suicide. It literally did. And it was like, what are you doing? Get off of this freaking platform. You're a complete and total idiot. What are you doing here? And the only thing that would have ever made me jump is to be literally strapped to you as my partner.
Well, we each had our own cables strapped to our own feet.
We did, but they had us.
But then they have us, so we hold on to each other. So we did a tandem, because otherwise you would have never done it.
Right. So I would never have done it alone. And of course, Amy probably knew that if I was strapped to her, I would have to do it because I wouldn't want to disappoint her. So literally in the end, I was pushed off the platform.
I jumped and the guy pushed us to... Yes.
Because I couldn't... He started the count. Every time he did the countdown, I literally could not move. I've never been so terrified in my entire...
There's a picture of us right before we jumped. Life. And you could see the whites around your eyes.
Yes. Yes. Now, we did opt to... So there is a way that you can get a free jump. And we opted not to do that.
Because these are expensive. It's like, you know, it was $100 a person.
Well, that was New Zealand dollars. That was twice US. It was like $300 a person.
Whatever it was. But you could
do it. And
that
was a long time ago.
You could do it naked.
We could do it naked.
We opted not to.
And only because if we had done it naked, my breasts, which are much larger than yours, probably would have ricocheted back at you on the way down. I would have knocked you out.
Sweetie, I would have caught him.
I would have knocked you out, and you would have missed the entire experience.
Like the knocker's effect.
But I remember them saying that they could dial it in, because they asked us if we wanted to dunk in the river with all the rocks
Do you want your hand to touch? Do you want your head to go in? Or do you want half body up to your waist?
Right.
That's how
And you said, sure, I want to dunk.
No, I just want my hand to touch.
And I'm like, no!
Is there a rock under that water?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So that was another one. And then the ice hole, you get to tell the ice hole. So same trip, Franz Josef Glacier, which you can no longer climb. So really now when I think back on it, we were so privileged to be able to be up on that glacier. They closed it now. And of course,
so you did this for my birthday party. My birthday present was you bought me a private ice guide. And so we climbed up onto the Franz Josef Glacier, and we did practice all day, like barn doors and whatever else, how to use the pickaxes and how to use the crampons and on your feet. And so at the end of the day, he asked us if we wanted to go rappel into an ice hole. And it was about the size of a football field. It was very large and very deep. He said it's about 1,000 feet deep. And if a Jeep fell into the hole, it would come out the bottom under the glacier a part at a time over the next
40 years.
So there you have it. So he's at only Repellian as far as you can get yourself back out, because I can't lift you out. So,
well, he couldn't lift us out because he literally was like 160 pounds wet.
Yeah, and he
and
was
this
just,
is our guide. He's our safety net.
That was it, too. And one little rope. So I backed into the hole, and it was so cool. I'm rappelling down, and I'm like, oh, stop. And I glanced down, and the hole went black. And there were these, it wasn't that the hole went black, but there were these ice spears, the pointiest ice spears sticking up.
Like 200 feet tall, sticking out of
it. Out of this hole, coming up to this very, very, very fine point. And I just went, oh my gosh, you only see that in the movies. And so I started climbing out, and the sweat and the adrenaline, and it's pumping. And I remember I get to the top of the ice hole, no barn doors. And that's where you miss your pickaxe and you swing open and swing back. And I'm like, no barn doors, no barn doors. And I get to the top of the ice hole and my foot just comes right up out of the ice hole over my head. And I was like, out of that ice hole. And I remember standing up, and I, whatever layers of clothes I had on, I had so much adrenaline sweat. It was through all the layers. And I didn't want you to be afraid because of the heights thing. And I'm like, so are you going to go next? Are you going to do this? And you're like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm like, awesome.
You made it look so easy.
And you did it.
I did.
You absolutely did it.
Well, I just, and I remember, I can remember his words clear as day. He said, don't go farther down than you can get yourself up. So don't overtax yourself on the way down, because if you can't bring yourself out of here, I can't pull you out.
Right.
And I remember thinking, no pressure, right? Like, no pressure. And so I did it. I totally did it. I didn't go down as far as you, but I was fine with that. I just really wanted to be able to say I did it. But I still went a pretty good way. I don't remember if I had a barn door. If I did, it would have scared the living daylights out of me. But I, too, remember that same experience. Like, I remember coming back up and, you know, you have your ice picks at the top and you got your crampons on your boots. And I remember thinking, I am going to get one shot at getting out of this hole before I slide to my death. And right at that moment, I got this rush of adrenaline. And I remember taking my right pickaxe and shoving it into the top of the ledge. And I remember my knee coming parallel with my face and thinking, I have never seen that before. I had no idea I was that flexible. and I somehow wrenched my ass out of that hole. But then I think I sat there for a good minute afterwards, just sort of hyperventilating, like, oh my God, what did I just do?
You were sitting on the edge. No.
What did I just do? Oh my God, what did I just do? What did I just do?
Oh, all right. What else comes to mind for you?
Oh, you know, those are some of the highlights. I definitely think that we can definitely add to this list in future times. There is one more. So there was this camper drive. We had this great 4x4 camper. It was an Outfitter, and we had it custom made. We were so proud of this thing, right? Because it was light and we could take it anywhere, and it was slid into the back of our awesome red pickup truck, and we were like super happy lesbians. We could just like drive around in our little camper and go anywhere.
Did you just call us super happy lesbians?
Super happy lesbians. And we could just drive around in our camper anywhere. We could go anywhere, do anything. And we did. And this one time we got ourselves into a spot that it was kind of impossible to back out of. So we had to just keep going forward. So once again, we were along the Arkansas River. It's kind of an old stomping ground of ours, but we were on the opposite side of the river near the railroad tracks. And we were trying to get from one town to the next. We were scoping out free camping, because again, we're cheap. And so we'll pay for a nice camper, but we only did that so that we could camp for free and boondock for cheap.
Right.
Along the Arkansas River. So we went across the river. We were looking for a camp spot.
Well, we were just on the main road, just driving. And next thing you know is the main road kind of went down along the edge of the river. And then it kind of tilted so that your side of the truck was a little closer to the river and your side of the truck was actually touching the water.
If you've never ridden in a pickup truck with a slide-in camper, you don't realize the whole balance piece of that. And once it starts to move to a tilt,
it only felt like it was tilting.
Then sure. Then you actually feel like at some point you could just topple over. So here I am in the passenger seat. I've got our cat in my lap, beautiful Princess Coda, who left us a few years ago. She lived a long, happy life camping with us for 20 years, but I had her in my lap. And the road is getting narrower and narrower. And I'm very trusting of Amy and her driving skills. And I know she keeps me very safe. And I'm looking next to me and I'm realizing we are right at the river's edge. But we are above the river's edge. So we're not just, you know, it's not like we could drive through
the river. No, the tires were touching the water.
We would have been, like, if we had tipped over, I'd have fallen in. Anyway, it looked like it was right next to my nose. And I was never more freaked out. Except for when I was bungee jumping. I don't think I've ever been so terrified in my life. And this trip, this road went on for freaking ever, getting rougher and rockier and narrower by the moment. And I am hyperventilating.
And I'm scratching the side of the truck, the left side up the bank.
And our new camper.
I was trying to stay, in a relatively new truck, because I'm trying to stay as far out of the water as possible. But you could see the road was eventually going to just go back up onto the embankment.
Except it
went up onto this platform area.
Yeah.
So it went up, but I'm like, because I mean, you were like, hyper freaking out, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we can't go back that way. So, and then the road, it just dead ended into this creek, like a creek bed. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a creek. There was water.
Oh yeah, there was water in it. It was at least a foot of water.
And I was like, oh my gosh, how are we gonna get out of here? And out of nowhere comes a white truck.
Literally out of nowhere. You know, people talk about like angels appearing and guiding you to safety. Sometimes I wonder, because that truck was not following us the whole way. I don't know where they came from.
So this pickup truck arrives and I go, is there any way out of here besides going back that direction? And they said, yeah, if you could literally just go down into the creek bed, go up the creek about 50 feet. And then on the right hand side, the road comes out of the creek and then it takes you down to Howard. And so that's what we did. We drove down into the creek bed, up creek. You know, again, we got this, you know.
And I continued to hyperventilate.
And we made it to Howard. And to this day, that one, just thinking about that freaks you out.
It does. Well, because we've gone that route a number of times in the past. And down Highway 50, right next to the Arkansas River.
And every time
we drive
over,
it, I
your
still
adrenaline
say,
just went up.
My adrenaline still goes up to this day. And that was years ago.
Yeah.
So, well, I do have one more, but do we want to save it? I don't know if you even know, but at some point, you're going to have to tell your Stephen King night.
I think that we should save that for a future podcast where we talk about our trips to Alaska. We can talk about the good trip to Alaska and the oh my god trip to Alaska. I think that would be
lovely
comparison.
A sneak peek that we slept in a Stephen King cemetery where it was more bears per capita. And
talking about stupid things we've done and lived to tell about. You know, it's funny because living with you,
you love it. Almost, you wouldn't trade it for anything.
I wouldn't trade it for anything. But, you know, you'd think that I was like this fearful, scaredy cat, you know, non-adventurous person. Because every time we tell a story, I'm like, I was terrified. But then I tell these stories to other people, like normal people who don't do the things that we do all the time. And they actually go, are you crazy? Like, what were you thinking doing that with her? So then I go, oh, okay, I'm the normal one. Anyway.
And I do recall, and sorry, ex-husband Bob, but I do recall him saying to me one time, he's like, thank God you have Cindy to drag around with you on around the world and on all these crazy adventures. And all I remembered is, drag around with you? Is that what you felt like? I was dragging you around the world on all these adventures? I'm like, oh, good riddance. All right, bless your heart, Bob. But I love having Cindy to drag around on all these adventures and exciting things.
She just has to keep a little Xanax in her pocket for the scary moments for me.
I use it frequently. No, anyway.
All right. Well, I think that's it for today. Feel free to share with us the crazy, stupid things you've done. Because we'd love to hear them.
Oh my gosh.
Have a fabulous day, everybody.
Thanks for tuning in to Cece and Doc Talk. We'd love for you to follow us on social media at Cece and Doc. That's CCNDOC. And you can visit our website at ccanddoc.com. We also take monthly donations to support this broadcast if you're so inclined. We'd love to hear your comments, suggestions, and questions, and we'll do our best to respond. Thanks, and have a fantabulous day.